And here again, the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord, and this is our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you thirsty? Is this congregation of God's forgiven and redeemed continually thirsty for forgiveness of sins and everlasting life that is offered through the gospel, and then willing to share those gifts with others? That's a two-part question. Are we continually thirsting to hear about the forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life? And then are we willing to share it with others? Do we gather here on Sunday as an afterthought, even though it may be a regular part of our weekly schedule, something we do every week, or maybe only occasionally as we make time for it? Are there other venues that compete for this time and other drinking opportunities that still leave you hungering and thirsting for righteousness, or at least a little personal peace and quiet? You know, we're awfully busy, aren't we? There are lots of things that compete for our time and our attention. Is the Spirit at work here in this place? And if he is, are you drinking in his gifts to satisfy your lives, which are parched by sin and parched by unfaithfulness to the call you received when the Spirit was given to you through the Word of God combined with water for a lavish washing away of your sins as you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Now think about those things. Do we need another Pentecost among us? And if so, what would that look like? Would it involve the sound of a mighty wind, tongues as a fire, and speaking in other tongues? Do we need to see and experience such an event to get a grip on who we are and what we've been given to do here in this place as God's people, as his church, gathered in this little part of his kingdom on earth? I'm not suggesting that this is something that we should look for or even look to. The Lord has given us his word, which makes us wise to salvation. The call of the gospel in our lives, first of all, is the very power to salvation. And secondly, it is the power to live lives that bear fruit as a display of our faith. So we have the word. We have the gospel. We have the gospel means, holy baptism and holy communion. And it's that word that creates and sustains faith in us and then empowers us to live as God's children. So mighty wind, tongues of fire, and speaking in other languages was the way the Lord got the attention of the apostles and a larger group of disciples, about 120. And then the pilgrims who had gathered in Jerusalem at the Feast of Weeks, that's what it was called, or Pentecost, which was an Old Testament festival. He had told the disciples that he would pour out power from on high, and so he took this opportunity to do so. And you heard the second reading. There were people in Jerusalem from all over the known world, Jews, devout Jews, who had come to celebrate this festival. And so the Lord poured out power in a dramatic way from on high, and he got their attention. And Peter preached a great sermon, and 3,000 were added to the church that day. So as we gather here this morning, the color red should have been an indication to you that this was a special Sunday in the church year. And then maybe you glanced at the hymn board or saw in the service folder that it's Pentecost. And maybe you remember that if Pentecost is 50 days after Easter, or as in Old Testament days, Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks was 50 days after Passover. And we know how Passover and Easter are together. In Old Testament history, Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, was a one-day harvest festival and was commanded to be observed as a commemoration of Moses receiving the divine law on Mount Sinai. Thus, as Jewish pilgrims gathered for that observation to celebrate that festival day, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, descended upon the people of God gathered there, thus fulfilling our Lord's promise to send a helper from on high to lead, to guide, and direct his people in all truth. That was our Lord's promise. It is the Holy Spirit who calls us, gathers us, enlightens us, and sanctifies us. Those of you who remember Luther on the third article of the Apostles' Creed. It is the Holy Spirit who points us to Jesus as the source of our eternal salvation, and in doing so, he uses the means of grace, word and sacrament, to do so. Those are gospel means, means by which we hear and receive all that the Lord has to give us for forgiveness and life. Those gospel means give us what we cannot obtain by our own doing, our own works, our own strength, and most certainly not by our own righteousness. So, as we celebrate this festival day in our church year, which was also a festival day on the Jewish calendar, we are in today's gospel reading, taken to the final day of the last Jewish festival of the year, which is the Feast of Booths. And we find Jesus standing to herald the good news. And this is different than Jewish rabbis did in that day. So rather than setting in performance of his duties as a rabbi or a teacher, Jesus stands to be a herald. He's the ultimate herald of good news. Here in the words of Jesus, he offers himself to those who are thirsty. It is Jesus who is the source of the waters that well up to eternal life. Jesus has come to awaken the desire among these people for spiritual satisfaction, even as he offers himself to satisfy this very need, this need that's in all of us, this desire among this and every people to be satisfied spiritually. For the one who comes and drinks shows faith in him and the one who has sent him to bring gifts of forgiveness and life to a people who lived in the shadow of death, parched as it were by their sins, deserving eternal separation from the Father. And so Jesus stands and he says, if you're thirsty, come to me and I will satisfy. Such is the call of our Lord upon us. He calls us to come to him and be satisfied. He calls us to humbly confess our sins and in him find rest, forgiveness, peace for our souls. By the power of the Holy Spirit poured out at Pentecost on his people and poured out on you in your baptism, you have been given joy in your salvation and accomplished for you completely by him who offers himself, Jesus Christ, and who offered himself for the sins of the whole world. This, however, is not just for you or for me, but it is for all who can be led to come and drink from the waters of life, which is the gospel. Since we have been called from sin to grace, from death to life, we are given reason to rejoice in the redemption that is ours in Christ. And we seek to live it out in our lives, bearing fruit, showing that we are God's people of faith, not only in our relationship with God, but also our relationship with our neighbor, the people you're sitting next to in your pew, the people who are sitting in other pews throughout this town and throughout this nation. A few chapters earlier in the gospel account, St. John the Evangelist shared this account of an event that happened in Samaria at Jacob's well in the area known as Sychar. I'm sure you remember the story when you hear me start. It's in the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. This area, this well where Jesus came, was near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. It was here that a significant drama unfolded between Jesus and a woman of tarnished reputation who was also a Samaritan. So that kind of sets up things that aren't supposed to happen. She had come out at midday all alone, which was an indication that she was shunned by her neighbors, her friends, who weren't her friends. Jesus, a Jewish man, asked this woman for a drink, which of course got her attention, because first of all, Jews and Samaritans did not converse, much less a Jewish man and a Samaritan woman. As she pointed out to Jesus that he should be well aware of that practice, Jesus took that as an opportunity to offer to her what he was publicly offering at the Feast of Booths in our gospel reading, the thirst-quenching good news, the gospel. He told her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She needed time to process what it was that he was saying to her, just in the same way as Nicodemus had when Jesus told him that he must be born again by water and the Spirit, born from above. And Nicodemus had trouble processing that. And now Jesus is offering this woman at the well, a Samaritan woman, water that wells up to eternal life. She needed to shift her thinking from the water that she came to draw from Jacob's well and the gospel waters that well up to eternal life. One water will satisfy temporarily. The other water will satisfy eternally. As Jesus continued the conversation with this Samaritan woman, it became apparent to her that he was the promised Messiah. She had at least heard about the promise, the one who would be the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. She could not contain herself. And this is where we come in. She could not contain herself. And she went back to town without her water jar and shared the news by asking, "Can this be the Christ?" One who was shunned now embraced Jesus because he made time for and interacted with her. Exposed of her sin and then offered welling up water, she was brought to faith and led to witness that faith to those who may not even have wanted anything to do with her. Yet it was vitally important for her to share what she had been given to drink. You have been given this water to drink. The Spirit has used the good news to bring you to faith, to give you forgiveness and eternal life. You live in this grace, and you live in this mercy that has been freely given. What are you doing with it? What are you allowing the Spirit to do with your life? How can you daily live as a personal witness? How can you daily be a conduit for this life-giving water to be shared with others? There are ample opportunities for you to say a kind word, give a reason for the hope that you have, which was a sermon text a few weeks ago, to give a defense for the hope that you have. Now, I remember when we were kids playing every kind of baseball we could in the summer, kickball, wiffle ball, tennis ball, baseball, whatever kind of ball we could use to play baseball. Well, the play in the heat would give us great thirst. In those days, there wasn't bottled water. And your mom really didn't want you come running in the house with all your friends. But there was usually a hydrant and a hose. at which we would line up and share as we sought to quench our thirst and cool our heads under the flow of water. Together, we shared that satisfaction and were refreshed so that we were ready to play again. We gather here in this place on this Pentecost Sunday, 2017, 500th anniversary of the Reformation year, to remember our baptisms, just as Walter Wolfgang Zweifel will be made a child of God by water and the Spirit in our late service. Through the proclamation of sins forgiven for Christ's sake, our hungering and our thirsting for righteousness is satisfied. We are refreshed, and so we are empowered to leave this place, to share this forgiveness in our homes with one another, and to share it with others who are drinking that which does not satisfy and living under the shadow of death, which is eternal, and they might not even know it. Life in Christ is Spirit-given and Spirit-driven. It is for life now and forevermore, for you and for others. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.